Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Haggai. The scripture reading is Haggai 2, 6-7. Thank you to Mike, Amy, Debbie, Don, and Ed for being part of the video.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see so many out. And it's always a joy to come together as a family of God and to worship Him and to thank Him and to be reminded that we belong to Him and that we are important to Him, every one of us. And we need God day in and day out. I'm learning that fast and furious. Anyways, let's start with some announcements. Happy birthday to Ernie and Kathleen. And birthdays are always fun. These days I try to make the most of it. I'm just thankful for another year, and I wish the best for those two. And may God be with you. Also, it's easier if I read the announcements up here. Actually, so I'm going to do that, so don't mind me. There is a directory update, and please send any new or changed information to Diane L. And there's her email. So if you have a change in your address or phone number, it would be helpful to her to update and complete the task. Thank you. The giving leaders will meet Tuesday, September 22nd, in the Fellowship Hall, which is back there. And you can come anytime after 10:30 and bring your completed projects. I don't knit very well. So, no, I'm kind of going to be opt out of that one. Unless there's food there, I'll be there. There's a thank you card here from Dorothy J. That's Earl's mom. And so if you want that, I'll give that back to Adam, and it'll be pinned up some from the back wall there for you to read. Prayer requests. As you're aware, Jack, Marie's husband, has been in and out of the hospital. And due to his infections and complications with his type of cancer that he has. He has good days and bad days, and appreciate our prayers on their behalf, especially for Jack. Also, an update on two people that I, Roy, who I visited down in Kentucky this summer, and last report I got was just a couple days ago, and Roy is doing very, very well. Matter of fact, the doctors are a little, like, surprised, but he's beating the odds, and Justin, my friend from college, said that he seems to be doing quite well, and he's up deep, and so God be praised for that. And my friend from work, her 18-year-old daughter, she's going through treatment. I saw a picture of her. She got her hair shaved, and so she had the Sinead O'Connor look, and she actually looked pretty good, but she, you know, anybody that happens to a young girl like that with lymphoma cancer, it's hard, but she seems to be holding well through that. I'll try and get more up for that. And I think that might be it. One thing I'm grateful for are the students. Please don't consider yourself visitors. You're not. You're valued members of the congregation, and we need you. And if you got talents, like song leading, or you want to do a communion talk, or if you want to just, we're going to need communion presiders, like go through and pass communion plates just like we did years ago. And we're going to try and get back to normal, but we're going to need your help. So if you want to participate in our worship to God together, please give your name to Adam, and please feel free, because we're going to be, it's going to be awesome and grateful if we all participate together. So without further ado, we're going to ask God's blessing upon this worship time together. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to be thankful and grateful for the privilege of coming to honor you and your Son and your Holy Spirit and the great things you have done in us and through us. Father, we realize there are many people that are going through some tough times physically, and we ask your blessing upon them. They're never far from our hearts, and Father, we know that they're not far from yours. And Father, we just are grateful for everybody that's here, and help us to be joyful, be jubilant, and be grateful. Father, please be with the speaker of the morning. Give him a good message to share with us, and may we all be encouraged because of it. Father, we love you, and help us to plan our week with letting you plan it for us and work towards your, be your hands and be your feet and be your voice and be your example in this world that's going through really dark times. But Father, we are the shining lights in this world, and help us to shine. Thank you, God, at this time. May you be blessed, may you be honored, and may you be glorified. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. The video that we watched just a minute ago introduced the prophets, and the reason why we had a video introducing the prophets is today we are spending our time in the book of Haggai. Dawn emailed that out this week, and that was a bit of a challenge for me because I was scratching my brain thinking, do I remember Haggai? And maybe you are in a better mental state than me, or you've spent more time in the minor prophets recently. Just by a quick show of hands, how many of us, without peeking, could summarize the book of Haggai? Yeah, that's about what I thought. So I'll give you a two-sentence background to Haggai, and then I'm going to focus our communion around three of the verses, and then Don is going to give us a much better picture of the whole book of Haggai when he gets up. The people of Israel were in Babylonian captivity for 80 years, and they were gone for 80 years, and then they came back to their native land. So that is kind of the context. They were back in their native land, and they had not rebuilt the temple. So most of the book of Haggai centers around this idea of you need to rebuild your temple, and there are three verses that I want to focus on. First, in Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. I feel like these are maybe old words, but a familiar feel. We seek out satisfaction in a lot of ways. We maybe seek out satisfaction in this list of ways, in food and drink and money. I think that's still probably three of the big three on our list of ways that we might seek out satisfaction. But I think this is also familiar for a lot of us who have lived much of life. Sometimes when we are seeking out satisfaction, we think that this is going to make my life better. And then you have this empty feeling, this, my holes have pockets in them. This, my clothes don't keep me warm. This, my food doesn't satisfy me. This, my internet scrolling, I still feel bored. I still feel lonely. I still feel incomplete. Why am I not able to be satisfied? I won't ask for a show of hands how familiar that feeling is, but I think we've all had that where we've chased after something that we thought would satisfy us, and we got that new car, or we got that new job, or we got that new relationship, or we got that money, or that food, or that drink, and it wasn't enough, and we just felt empty. So that's a harsh place to start, but I think it's still true. Jumping to verse number 9 in the same chapter. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy in his own house. That one was a bit of a sucker punch to me. How much time do we spend on our relationships in our own house without spending time on the relationships with God? How much time are we spending building our own temples without focusing on building our temples for God? What is the 2022 version of build me my temple? And I don't know that it is an outward display. It might be an outward display. And that is something that you need to wrestle with God on. What is building your temple in your life? And what would that look like? And this book that is thousands of years old remains true. The things that we chase for satisfaction will leave us empty if we have not built our temple with the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your ageless messages. We thank you for your story told over and over again and your forgiveness through the ages. God, we thank you that historical books and historical people continue to point us to you. God, help us to rebuild our temples. Help us to know what that looks like in 2022. Help us to know how to bring you into our lives and how to chase after you. God, give us a heart to be your people. Amen.
Good morning. The reading this morning is Haggai 2, verses 6 and 7. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty.
Good morning, everybody. Glad that you are with us. Let's just take a moment to stand up where we are and to say good morning to each other. And if there's somebody here you don't know, go ahead and introduce yourself to each other, and then we'll get going again. Okay, if you'd like to find a seat again, we'll get started today. Well, I hope you don't mind, but we're going to cover the entire book of Haggai. But I promise it won't be a lengthy sermon. There are only 38 verses in the entire book, but it is a remarkable story. It's a call from God to a prophet Haggai to rebuild the temple of God so that worship could take place. And if you remember some of the Old Testament story, the temple was built, it was destroyed, it was built, it was destroyed on many occasions. And because of that, people, even though they were people of God, they became bored, lethargic, and they weren't worshiping, nor were they caring about God's temple, a place where worship and praise could take place. And it can be true today. God wants us to worship and praise. And immediately somebody says, well, you don't have to go to a church building in order to worship and praise, which is absolutely correct. But there is something unique about being with a group of people who love God, care for each other, and we come together as a community. The word communion, which we've already had, is a coming together. There is strength. But it's also important to know, and it's easy to forget, that you're never alone. And that right now, we're not alone. God is with us. Jesus hears us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. It's not just words. What if all of a sudden God showed us himself? He just walked in and we knew it was God. We would be bowled over. And Jesus came in through the other entranceway. And then the Holy Spirit came in. One day, we will see them face to face. And until that time comes, one of the reasons why we gather for worship is to love God and to say, I'm still believing. Are you still believing? Continuing to praise God. And so it was important because people say, well, you don't need a church building in which to worship, which we don't. But the reality was people needed a place to gather together and to worship. And many times in the Old Testament, the worship service was amazing, incredible, and that people needed that encouragement once again. In the book of Ezra, it talks about this when it says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. Some of you remember when the cement was poured in this church building. Here have the builders laying the foundation of the temple of the Lord. The priests in their vestments, now watch this and listen if you can, and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, and that may not ring a bell, but if you look in the book of Psalms, Asaph's name is mentioned over and over and over and over again. He was the director of music. So when this temple was built and Asaph directs the chorus, can you imagine how that sounded? Let me read it. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments, the trumpets and the Levites, Asaph, the director of music, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by King David. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house was laid. Just the foundation. So can you imagine what the singing would be like when not just the foundation was laid, but the entire temple was laid, filled with God's presence? It's good to be excited about God and to let God know that you, me, are excited about him. I think it's good every once in a while to check in on God and to say to him, thank you. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for allowing me to know you. And thank you that I don't have to make an appointment with you to see you, but I can see you, be with you anytime and every time. So the book of Haggai was important because the people became lethargic. They didn't care about the temple anymore. And so God helps us to understand, to be with him. So I'm going to read every word in the book of Haggai. Won't be long, 38 verses. But if there's any strength to this, put yourself in the shoes of these people. It says this, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, and so forth and so on. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. They said that. When the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses, your beautiful houses, while God's house remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. That's important. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never your fill. You put on clothes, but are not worn. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build the house of the Lord so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. You know, a school is just a school. A house is just a house. A church is just a church. But a school isn't just a school. It's people. And a house isn't just a house. It's people. And a church isn't just a church. It's people. And the people of God coming together to worship and to praise. Each one of us, specifically in our church, because we sing, we can sing. We can sing together. We can glorify God. I mean, how often on a given week do we praise him, think about him, know that he's with us? So here is this prophet, Haggai, not really well known, but comes across with this powerful direction from God saying, we need worship in this temple. We need it to be growing and to take place. And then in verse 12, it says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, and I'm not pronouncing the names properly, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. And then it says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. And it's true for us today. Here's what God says to each one of us. Number one, I'm with you. I am with you. And I suspect if there's one thing that we want to remember all of our life, good times and bad times, God says, I'm with you. I will never, help me, leave you. I am always with you. I will never forsake you. Never. We've all had experiences when people have forgotten and people have forsaken. God will never do that. He is God who loves and knew us before he created Adam and Eve. Think about that. He knew the exact time and places in which we would live. And the reality is, God is with us, even right now. So in chapter 2, it talks about, I'm going to start reading in about verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come and will fill my house with glory. Now, this is not the first time when God's house was overwhelmed with his presence. Back in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, just listen to this. Put yourself there. Listen to what it says. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices Listen, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt down on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." Has anything changed? That's still true for us today. And then later in this 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it said Solomon had discussed some more things, and then the response was from God, "I heard your prayers and have chosen this place for myself." He's chosen this place for ourselves and for himself. Wherever you want to worship, God is with us. And he says to us, to humbly seek my face, says God, turn from wicked ways, then I will hear you from heaven, and I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. That we are chosen people from God himself. So this wonderful story of Haggai reminds us that God is with us and he'll never leave us. And then back in Haggai in chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, "The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty." In the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 now, so this is many years later, the Apostle Paul writes to a church at Corinth. And Corinth was a place that had universities. Corinth was a place that had all kinds of the newest fads of that particular time. And there was a church at Corinth that had a great deal of difficulties. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, the Apostle Paul encourages the Christians, and you're going to hear one word over and over and over and over again. And I just know this word at Christmas time. And I'm ashamed of that, because it's not a word for just Christmas time. It's a word for every single day. Listen to what it says. And this is for us. "Now, if the ministry that brought death, Old Testament, which was engraved in letters of stone, the Ten Commandments, if they came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily because of the glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Holy Spirit even be more glorious?" The ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's for us, even today. "And if the ministry that condemns people is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory, which is what we have today. And if what was fading came with glory, how much greater is the glory that which lasts?" Exclamation point. The glory of the Lord rests on us, and God says it with an exclamation point. Never, ever think that God doesn't notice you. He's with us even when we're not with him. When we forget that he is always with us. In 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18, it talks about the fact that he is always with us. Verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed," listen to this, "we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit. So if you ever think that God doesn't really pay much attention to you, please know that he does in a powerful, powerful way. And so going back to Haggai, this glory comes, it rests on this particular church. And Haggai is trying to share this message that's important for all of us. And even though the remnant, the people who were Christians and Old Testament believers who followed the law of Moses, and then they came away, they left, and then they came back again, and then they left, and then they came back again. It was just God's way of saying, you've left me, but I've never left you. And that's still true today. Haggai says, whatever they do, whatever they offer, it's defiled, meaning their heart wasn't in it. Now give careful thought to this. From this day on, consider how things were before one stone of the temple was laid. And when any other of the Lord's temple, and when anyone came with 20 measures and so forth of sacrifice, when anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there was only 20. It struck the work of your hands with blight because you did not turn to me. So from this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month back then, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. And then he says, give careful thought to that. Give careful thought to the temple. Give careful thought to what happens in the temple. And give careful thought to how you come to the temple. And give careful thought when you leave the temple. And remember that you are the temple of God. If you ever feel like I'm not important, you're going to have to argue with God, and he never loses. He says, you are mine. You are my temple. Now live this life, a life of difficulties, yes, but a life of glory that lights up the world because Christ has come into our hearts. Lastly, in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says this, since we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. We worship God by our thoughts, by our prayers, and by our praise. And sometimes fire comes and it kind of destroys things. In our life, we've all found that. We wonder, how come I can't feel this great closeness to God that I felt recently? And something happens and it just wipes it out. But you know what a fire can sometimes do? It can wipe it all out so you can begin again. And it will grow. And it will prosper. And you will remember the words of the Lord. I love you, God says. You are mine. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. Amen.
I first learned about singing in church as a child. And it became really important to me to express ideas and spiritual ideas with singing. I sing in two different singing groups. And between now and Christmas, I'll be learning 40 different songs. So music is a really important part of my life, but oftentimes in my life, I think of hymns at certain points in my life. And this song that we're going to sing in conclusion is about singing those songs, and those songs echo in our soul. And in this song, a couple of lines, I am holding on to you, the rock I cling. And I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through and sing the songs you give. So in our lives, even though we're going to be singing this song, it's true that we can be connected with God in our lives, even in difficulty and even in joy.
Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful to be here this morning and to be reminded that you are always with us, and that there are times in our lives that we may be a little less making you especially not visible in our lives. And Father, we need to make you more visible. We need to build our temples. We need to be reminded that we are your temple here on earth together as one, and that you loved and died for us. And Father, we love you and we live for you. Father, we are reminded that this week is going to be a very eventful week in many ways. The world is coming together to bury a monarch that has been very instrumental in our lives, as that's the only one we've known. So, Father, the world comes together, yet the world is also mourning because of various wars, especially Ukraine still under siege, and many people are dying. And let us not forget that the world is a large place, and there's still evil, but there is still goodness, and you are powerful, and you are overall. Help us to use our lives in some small way, through prayer, through action, to make a difference as we can and as we should. Help us to go our separate ways and to be encouraged. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.